This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Celebrating the 20th annual Pork Fest. And I've heard the rumors that the 20th was going to be the last centralized one, and that after this they were going to decentralize, but who knows what rumors you hear are true. I hear the same rumors every year that people are going to buy Rogers Campground, and it hasn't happened yet. None of these things has happened yet. Rumors abound among any circle, but especially so among libertarians. And I'm joined now by Angela McArdle, the chair of the National Libertarian Party. And it's great to have you on because I love the Libertarian Party and I love what it does. And I cannot possibly sympathize enough with your position. Right. I've seen what happens with Dennis Pratt here, putting together the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And these are two very different things, right? He's putting together an event. You're running a national party, but the situations are similar in that you can't please people. And no matter what you do, some segment of the irate internet is going to be angry at you and insulting you and vicious. And your entire rise to chair seemed to be fixated around some sort of controversy with the Mises Caucus. And I realize you probably want to be a better sport about things than I'm willing to be, but Nick Sarwark being a little bitch and causing issues everywhere that he can. And that's been my general take among things. You know, there was a shakeup to the regime, and the old regime got really butthurt about it, which, you know, I sort of expect. But thank you for joining us here today. So what has it been like running this institution? I mean, libertarians are notoriously like herding cats. And here you have an organization that is built upon attempting, as best as anyone can, to herd these cats. What's it been like?
Okay, so this is a little bit of a paradox, but let's dig in. So you're correct, but I totally reject the paradigm of cat herding because we can, we should be, and we are able to do better than that. We have the best philosophy, just the most beautiful structure of political and interpersonal interaction, and I think we should do better than herding cats. We should organize. We should have the best natural hierarchies. Like, we should be on top of all of that. So has it been challenging? Yes. The biggest challenge is to persuade people to, like, rise above and be, like, be the embodiment of what we want to see in the rest of the world. So you could think of it as, like, basic training.
Okay.
for libertarians.
Sure. And that's commendable. That's incredible. And I've always said that it's not impossible to herd cats. You just have to treat them as individuals. Like, I have two cats, and they're with me here in my hotel room, and they would follow me to the ends of the earth. If I just started walking, they would absolutely follow me. And in that sense, I'm not herding these cats, but I am leading them, and I've established this rapport with them and treated them on an individual basis, got to know them. That's sort of what happens with libertarians. But in the modern age of social media and people fighting one another, it's vicious, it's outrage culture. As far as I can tell, people are addicted to the outrage and the righteous indignation they feel. It's got to be worse than ever trying to get anything done. Even here in New Hampshire, where by and large libertarians are capable of putting things aside in order to work together to accomplish things. But even here, it happens all the time where something will happen on the internet in this make-believe world of social media, and other people will get upset about it, and it will appear to cause massive divisions in the community. And that's just amplified on the national scale. So kudos to you for dealing with that. It can't possibly be easy.
Thanks. I mean, you're right. The social media drama is pretty insane. Generally, working with people in person and working with them closely on projects, even if we're spread across the country, it goes really well.
Right. Yeah. How was this? Is this your first time attending the Porcupine Freedom Festival, or
no,
have you been here in the past?
My third time.
Okay. Well, welcome back. Are you a Free State Project signer? Are you intending to move here at any point? Or are you happy where you're at?
There's no wrong answer. I mean, I know a lot of free staters, but there's only one right answer. But no, there's no wrong answer.
To be decided. It's not written off.
Okay.
We just moved to Austin, Texas recently, and we're really enjoying that. But I'm someone who says never say never. I really support secession.
Right.
I really support that. You know, there's a Texit thing going on right now. So it's kind of like a contest to see who first secedes.
I had high hopes for New Hampshire. I mean, I was part of the NHExit group, part of the people who got all of that going, along with Dave Ridley and Alu Axelman and some others. I was really hopeful that the results of the constitutional amendment for New Hampshire to peaceably secede would be a little better than there were, but I mean, we got 13 state reps to vote yes on it, and that wouldn't have even seceded. It would have just put it to the people of New Hampshire to vote on whether or not the state of New Hampshire should secede. I don't care who secedes first. I would love it to be New Hampshire, obviously. But for one reason, I'm going to federal prison in 3 days, and if New Hampshire secedes, then I'm not a United States citizen anymore, and I'm not subject to their laws at that point. But, you know, I will be out of prison, it looks like, by the time that New Hampshire secedes, if it actually does declare independence. But if it's CalExit or Texit or New Hampshire exit, I don't care, as long as someone does it and they're successful. And it puts to bed the myths that the United States government would react violently to the notion of secession. And that's what I see online all the time, is, oh, they'll just bomb you into oblivion or blockade you or invade. It's like, I'm not convinced that this would happen in modern times, but do they not realize what they're saying? That because these people want to govern themselves and leave the United States government is justified in rolling in tanks and taking lives?
That's an incredibly black-pilled perspective, and it really shows you some of the compartmentalized worldviews that other libertarians and anarchists have. You know, like, they say that they're all about X, Y, and Z, individualism, autonomy, you know, the right of self-governance. But when it comes down to really discussing it in the real world, they back away from it immediately. They think that you're going to get, you know, murdered by the state, that there's no possible way. And it's, I don't really know what the right answer to that, to dealing with that is, but we need to have more discussions about that as a community. Like, how bought in are you? Do you really have faith in what you're believing? Is that part of why we have so much dysfunction in our communities?
That's very well said, and that was one of the things we definitely accomplished with the secession drive here in New Hampshire, the independence drive here in New Hampshire. I knew that we wouldn't declare independence, that New Hampshire wouldn't declare independence. I was hoping, you know, all the way up until last minute, I was hoping that it was going to happen, but realistically, I knew that it almost certainly wouldn't. However, it got a lot of people talking about the possibility.
Yep.
And it's only becoming more and more common. Of course, CalExit and Texit are also getting that conversation happening. The more, it's an Overton window type of thing. The first time people hear this idea, of course, it sounds crazy. But the way humans assess the popularity of an idea is based on how familiar they are with it. So the more often people hear about the idea of secession, the less kooky it sounds to them, the more mainstream it sounds, and the more popular in their minds the idea must be, because they continue to hear about it. So getting these ideas out there, getting the conversation out there, and having people discussing it, absolutely, I think, is going to inexorably lead to independence for someone, and I look forward to seeing whoever is the first one to do it.
If at first you don't secede, try again.
So other things I've heard, other rumors I've heard, and I wanted to discuss this with you because I bought orange juice from the National Libertarian Party tent over here yesterday, and like, that's amazing to me to realize that I used gold to buy a drink from the National Libertarian Party, from my political party, from the chair of that party. And that's amazing. But the Republicans and the Democrats, they're never going to be able to say anything like that.
Right.
To say nothing of the fact that you guys were willing to take gold for it. And I posted about this on social media, bragging, because this is incredible, guys. What libertarians are doing here is absolutely phenomenal, and people should be paying attention to it. And one of the people commented saying that, you know, that's a good sport of me. I, being a trans woman, it was surprising to them that I was willing to interact with you and have you on the show, which is something else that I mentioned. And I didn't have any idea what she was talking about, because I'm of the mindset that social media is not very useful. I post things to social media and I may react to comments or notifications that I get, but more often than not, I post what I want to post and then I go away. So I don't pay any attention to the dramas that people get involved in on social media, but there's always a new drama, rightly or wrongly, because that's what social media is designed to do. And what I heard was that You are very homophobic and transphobic. And my first thought was, wow, I've interacted with her repeatedly over the last few days, and I never got any of those vibes. So what are you talking about? And my suspicion is that what this person is referring to is exactly that fictitious internet world that they have mistaken for the real world.
Yep.
So do you have any idea where these sorts of claims come from? She said I think she said in particular that your Twitter was filled with homophobic stuff. And again, that doesn't seem like it's accurate. It seems like a misreading of the situation.
Yeah. So there's a lot to unpack here. I mean, right. A big part of the Reno reset and taking over was to make the Libertarian Party more welcoming to people who are socially conservative, but
right.
Still libertarians. That doesn't mean to make it a socially conservative party. It means that, for example, we put out a ton of things about LGBT wins at the federal level, at state level, throughout our social media over the last several years, and we haven't put out anything that people who are socially conservative might be more interested in. It's just, there's a vacuum, you know, and
right.
It's been filled with only things that are more, like, socially, I don't like to use the word progressive because it's been co-opted, but
right.
you know what I mean. So now it's like, we're also going to talk about, like, celebrating homeschool wins.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, which is great. I don't see any issue whatsoever with that, but there are a lot of people who think that any welcoming or any tolerance for social conservatism is somehow anti-LGBT or anti, you know, there's a lot of movement happening in the United States around LGBT issues and drag queens and
yeah.
trans people and Governor DeSantis, and there's very much a culture war going on, and it's very difficult to avoid wading into that, and I certainly wade into it. I have an LGBT flag flying here that was never here last year, and that wasn't here the year previously. I've been here 7 years. I've never bothered to bring or fly one of these flags. And I didn't even think about it this year. It was so late to me, the idea, that I ordered it from Amazon and had it shipped here, because otherwise I was already going to be here. And
right.
It's simply as a pushback against that pushing that I'm feeling as a trans person. And there are many social conservatives out there who are willing to live and let live, who don't approve of my lifestyle. I'm not asking them to, but they're willing to not use force and violence against me in order to maintain and perpetuate their lifestyle or to prohibit me from enjoying mine. And I think that's really the nexus of where all of these things can come together, is just raw basic tolerance and allowing a person to exist without force, violence, and coercion being used against them. And a lot of people on the left, a lot of left-leaning libertarians as well, have this idea that if you're not actively condoning a lifestyle, then you're a bigot.
Right.
And I don't agree with that, and I suspect that's a lot of where these claims of you being homophobic and transphobic actually come from.
I think so. I mean, I think what it really, probably where it comes from and gets mistranslated, is that there's disagreements over what children shouldn't be allowed to do. And
yeah.
you and I probably have disagreements on that, and they're good faith disagreements. And it doesn't mean that you're trying to hurt children, and it doesn't mean that I'm trying to hurt children either. It's just we're still trying to figure that out.
Right.
And I think that's part of the human condition, and that's part of libertarianism, is you're trying to decide what is the non-aggression principle, what is that line, what is the age of consent. They're all conversations that end up kind of cringy online. They make
yeah.
people angry. Sometimes they need to be had.
You're absolutely right. There are conversations to be had, but online in particular, people seem to gravitate to the extremes.
Right.
Right? If you want to have a discussion about children transitioning, they jump right to the mutilation of children's genitals, which that wasn't a talking point prior to this year. And that's generally not the conversation that anyone is having about transgenderism.
Yeah.
Obviously, gender affirmation therapy for people who are under the age of 18 consists of using the pronouns they prefer and the names they prefer and allowing them to socialize and dress how they prefer. But there have been only 56 cases of sexual reassignment surgery for people under the age of 18 in the last 3 years. And all of those were born with ambiguous genitalia in the first place. So they were hermaphroditic, and the sexual reassignment surgery was picking one or the other, their most dominant characteristics for them to have. And all of these hospitals that perform these surgeries make it very clear that they don't perform them for people under the age of 18. But the conversation still, despite these things, it goes inexorably toward this extreme position. And I think it's a way of trying to make make the discussion ridiculous or bringing it to a place where it cannot be defended. Because obviously, no one is able to defend against the idea that a five-year-old should be able to declare themselves a girl and have their genitals removed, right? That's an indefensible position for any rational person to take. Yeah. And I think that's why people tend to drag the conversation to the extremes. And the internet, the social media in particular, they facilitate exactly that. They're not for discussion. They're for polemics, for people to talk about how outraged they are, how angry they are, and to talk about the most extreme cases they can find. Libs of TikTok, another great example, is this Twitter thread where they find the most egregious examples of leftists on TikTok, and they post it to a Twitter page. And yes, these examples exist, but I don't know of anyone on any side of the political aisle who endorses some of this stuff.
Right. It's like the most cringe takes.
Yes.
And you used to find it more with people who are like extreme social conservatives, but now it's like the tide has flipped. You know, many years ago, you'd find, you know, like, oh, geez, some dude up in the mountains had, you know, 13-year-old child brides locked away, and, you know, in the basement.
Yeah.
Equally horrifying, probably worse, you know, worse things out there. Not many worse things out there than that. But I think you're right. I think social media disincentivizes authentic conversation. We all experience it. I think the Twitter algorithm really enjoys outrage, and that makes us, it kind of pushes us into sort of a dopamine riot where we're all going nuts.
Someone posts something controversial or some sort of outrage, and you know, people like it, and they retweet it, and it makes them feel good. It gives them those dopamine hits that you mentioned, so they post more of that. And then the people liking it get the dopamine hit from seeing people agreeing with them and sharing in their outrage,
yep.
And it just becomes this masturbatory circle of people spewing hatred and becoming increasingly insular in their worldviews. Very similar to what we saw in 2016 when the liberals throughout the colleges here in the United States, they were convinced that with the election of President Trump, that there were going to be cattle cars rounding up all the gay people and all the disabled people and putting them in, like, there were teachers in or professors in universities and presumably teachers in high schools that were crying with their students on the day after the election about I'm sorry, they're going to load you in the cattle cars. First of all, what a weak, immoral person you must be to offer someone a crying shoulder. They're going to be loaded into the cattle car here to be put to death, and all you have to offer them, not a gun or a bullet so they can defend themselves, a shoulder to cry on. How useless can you possibly be? But that aside, they had worked themselves up into this fevered frenzy where they had convinced themselves, because they had their echo chamber when they weren't listening to what Trump supporters were actually saying, and if a Trump supporter actually spoke to them, it went through the filter of their own progressive values, so they didn't hear what was actually said in the first place. If they listened at all, it was just to hear counterpoints so they could hear themselves talking.
Totally.
And they worked themselves up into this fevered frenzy, and obviously none of that happened. That's not to say Donald Trump was a good president. He didn't start any new wars, and that's the best that anyone, I think, can say about him. But it was scary to watch this happen, to watch these people firmly convinced that they were going to be rounded up and executed. And there was no basis to it whatsoever, and you couldn't reason them out of it. Do you remember the clown sightings of 2016?
The what?
The clown sightings?
Yes.
Yeah, I firmly believe that was a CIA psyop to study the effects of hysteria on people.
That is possible. That's a really good point. I had kind of forgotten about that.
Yeah, there was never any explanation of it whatsoever. It was either that, or it was viral marketing for the movie It that got out of control, and they pulled the plug on it, and they just quietly buried it. I don't know which of the two things it was, but it was fascinating to watch these people. I was arguing with people that the clowns had not hurt anyone. They hadn't done anything. There was no reason whatsoever to be scared of them, except they were standing there being creepy. And there were limitless people saying, I pray that you don't encounter one of these clowns, or they don't encounter your kids. And they were just fully caught in the hysteria. And there was no basis for it whatsoever. And what I learned from that is you can't talk people out of hysteria. This is presumably why the adage exists that you slap people out of it. But obviously, that would be aggression. But we see hysteria constantly throughout today, and it's no longer just about the fictitious or the largely fictitious clown sightings. And of course, we had the same things going on then, where people were faking it. They wanted to be part of it, or they wanted to inspire fear, so they would Photoshop a clown at a school, or they would call in a fake clown threat. I can't even, I forget that this craziness even happened, but people were calling in clown threats to schools.
This is so wild. So earlier this month, I had a birthday party, and the theme was Escape from Clown World.
Okay.
And so the instructions were to come dressed as anything in the culture war that completely fatigues you, or to come dressed as a clown. So I invited people to come dressed as drag queens,
nice.
As clowns, as January Sixers. So we had Patriot Front show up. We had
nice.
Yeah, we had all kind. We had clowns. We had reporters. All kind. I feel like at a certain point it gets so hysterical. You just need to like kind of lean in and embrace its like hilariousness in order to kind of have a catharsis and get over it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm not a big fan of interacting with children, but I was going to have a drag queen story hour here simply to lean into that, because it's portrayed as this horrific thing of people stripping for children and stuff, and maybe some drag shows are like that, but the ones being put on for children are not. But so I was going to have one that resisted that image. That was just, you know, people who happened to be in drag. And one of the drag queens I was trying to get was a cisgender woman, like a natural born woman. And I didn't know until then that those were even drag queens, right? I thought they
female,
were all
female impersonator.
Yeah. And that I didn't know such a thing existed. So I don't understand what issue a person could take with a woman in drag reading a story to kids. But you know, these things have become so politicized, so extreme, that it's, you're not having a comfort when you have these conversations, and we lost a co-host on Free Talk Live about this exact issue. We're not having a conversation about Mrs. Doubtfire reading a story to children. We're having a conversation to them that is about some half-naked drag queen with a dildo strapped to her forehead, and the person who quit the show cited that exact example of people reading to kids with dildos strapped to their forehead. And these things just aren't happening.
Well, that would be gross.
Yeah, it would be disgusting.
But we agree on that. I mean, I think you touched on something good earlier, which is like the libs of TikTok stuff. But most people agree that like no one, male or female, whatever they're dressed as, whatever they're presenting as, should be stripping naked and gyrating in front of 6-year-olds.
Right. Yeah. We can all agree
there
on
we
that.
There we go.
Right. Building bridges here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I mean, if you can't agree with that, then obviously we just can't work together.
Yeah.
You should probably be segregated from the rest of society.
Yes.
That thinks these things are not okay. I mean, if you want to do that in your weird little enclave, as long as no one's being aggressive, I don't necessarily have an issue with it, but that's where you start blurring the lines between what is and isn't aggression, because that power dynamic exists. You're the adult, they're the child, and I don't think there's any way a child could fairly consent to having an adult strip for them.
Right.
I think that's out of line.
And people sometimes will ask me, they'll be like, oh, well, you're opposed to that. But what about child beauty pageants? And those are also horrible.
So check out lp.org. I believe that's the National Libertarian site. Thank you so much for joining us today, Angela. And we are here, and you see the Libertarian Party National Tent is right behind me. So go by, talk to them, sign up, join the party. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The head of a Russian mercenary group is ordering a halt to his military advance on Moscow. Russian state media says the leader of the Wagner group agreed to de-escalate the situation after talks with the president of Belarus. The White House says President Biden is staying abreast of the situation in Russia. Former Vice President Mike Pence is calling for a federal 15-week abortion ban. It comes on the one-year anniversary of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. Pence added, every Republican candidate for president should support an abortion ban at the federal level. The support ship used to launch the Titan submersible is back in Canada. The Polar Prince docked in St. John's, Newfoundland on Saturday with its flags flying at half-mast. Experts believe all five passengers on the small submersible likely died instantly due to a catastrophic implosion. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival here in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Absolutely beautiful day. Thank God the heat broke a little bit. Yesterday it was 86 degrees at its peak. Absolutely unbearable. I could not get my dog cooled off, and she's stupid, so she wouldn't just, like, drink a lot of water. So at one point around 2 o'clock at its peak, we retired to the hotel room, to the air conditioning, and we just chilled there. I also have a screwed up eye, and that gave me a good excuse to, like, put some ice on it. I got hit recently. But I'm joined now by Sean of the Liberty Policy Alliance. He's been here at the FCL site for the last week or so. You are from...
I'm from Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia. That's right. You were previously with YAL.
Yes.
That's Young Americans for Liberty. And that is more or less how you know the show. You know Bonnie Cruz, who's a co-host here on the show. And you weren't happy with Young Americans for Liberty to some extent, so you were like, screw you guys, we're going to go do our own thing. Is that right?
Without disparaging y'all too much.
Right.
Basically, we decided that we wanted to, my friends and I, we all decided that, hey, we wanted to take what we learned and take a bit of a brain drain and go start our own organization. So what we do is we're a grassroots advocacy organization. So what we do is, instead of knocking for candidates and campaigns, we'll knock for legislation and ballot initiatives around the country.
So okay, so you focus more on issues rather than candidates.
Yes.
That means you have a very fitting name, Liberty Policy Alliance, instead of Liberty Candidacy Alliance, or whatever. So did you come door knocking here in New Hampshire during the 2020 presidential campaign? Because I know Bonnie did and some other people for y'all did.
I was on the 2020. I was in the 2020 primary and the 2020 generals. I was, unfortunately, some of us got hit with a really bad COVID quarantine to the point where the AG was threatening to press charges against y'all and make Liberty win. It wasn't a fun time.
Wow, that's insane. I'm a little disheartened today to see a lot of people like camping up and leaving their sites. Just a quick update on how the Porcupine Freedom Festival is going. It may be ending a day early from what I can tell. I got a message earlier from Carla Garrick of Queen Quill, as people call her, telling me that the rant tonight, Soapbox Idol, had been moved to noon today. So it's happening right now. Previously, it's the biggest event going on here. So this was a big deal to me. I was like, okay. And I'm the judge of this event. One of the judges. But ultimately, I think it's because of the weather. And now there's two Soapbox Idols happening today. One today and then the normal one at 6 o'clock tonight. It's all very unclear and very hectic, very confusing here. It's a Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's libertarians,
yep.
So nothing is clear. Everyone is late, and it's a great time nonetheless, though. So I'm still hoping that Soapbox Idol and other events are going to proceed as normal. But it's a rainy day. It's only going to get more rainy. I think we got a little brief reprieve from it right now, but it's coming again. So all of that said, reintroducing people to the Porcupine Freedom Festival because we are on site. And you know, people tend to forget that. So tell me more about what you guys are doing. Like, what brings you? Why are you here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival? What are you hoping to accomplish?
So there's a list of there's a multitude of things that I'm hoping to accomplish here. I'd say we, but none of the rest of my team is here right now. So
yeah, there was supposed to be a second person, right? But
yeah,
things just didn't work out.
Schedules didn't work out. So the reason we're here is, one, trying to make a name for ourselves amongst New Hampshire libertarians. Two, my ideal goal would be to have our headquarters. We're all working remotely right now. Like, I have guys in Florida, New York, Ohio, Texas, all over.
Fantastic.
I want to be able to have a headquarters here in New Hampshire because, the way I see it, if you're going to have a libertarian organization, you need to be located in the quote-unquote libertarian homeland. So what I'm here for is to make contacts with a lot of people, whether they're here, they live here as part of the Free State Project, or if they're from other places around the country, because I want to make us a big national organization. I want to have our hands in as many of the cookie jars as I possibly can, and that means making contact with a bunch of people, getting people on email lists. I've given out over 200 business cards with a QR code that goes to our website and all of our social media and stuff. Like, I'm really, really all about making positive contact, giving out information. People look us up, and that'll turn into donations and stuff we can use towards actively pursuing our goals.
So has the Porcupine Freedom Festival been successful for you? Have you been?
I would call it a success. Like I said, I've given out over 200 business cards with our organization's information on it. I've got 50 people to sign on to an email list.
Nice.
So I'd always wish
every single year I wish I had done something different. And this year, this is not the first time that I realized I should have brought a clipboard to get people's email addresses to add to our mailing list at Free Talk Live, because we do have a mailing list, and we got several thousand emails on it. But it's an easy thing to do to get in touch with people, to keep in touch with people, and hope that your messages don't go to spam. But
right.
Email is a wonderful way of contacting people and making anything happen. When I formed the Libertarian Party of Tate County back when I lived in Mississippi, it was almost entirely through email that we managed to do anything. I did send out physical letters to the registered members that I had on file, but I didn't get any responses to those. It was email seemed to be the fastest and most efficient way of reaching out to people. And, of course, I'm going to federal prison in, 2.5 days. So I've learned today that someone who went to this exact facility says that no one writes letters anymore, even people in prison. It's all email. So I'll have some access to email. Email is the way of the future, though. So I'm glad to see you guys doing that and that you've gotten so many email addresses. What are your feelings on the Porcupine Freedom Festival as a whole? I mean, is this your first year?
This is my first year. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being able to walk around, have just nice conversations with people, have some great food. Just the overall experience has been just insanely great. I'm going to try and be back here with more people next year, obviously, and more planning ahead of time. This was not my best attempt at getting something through, but it was our first time, so I figure, why not wing it?
Sure. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Bonnie of Free Talk Live is your social media manager. Is that correct?
She's our spokesperson. She handles she talks to people for us. She does a lot to put us in a positive light, and I'm very thankful to have her on board.
Yeah, she's really good at that. We all love Bonnie to death. So with all of that said, you do plan on coming back next year and bringing a bigger presence. I don't know that there's any – is there any ground that you feel like we haven't cut? Like, where can people go to learn more about your organization, first of all?
So our website is www.libertypolicyalliance.org. You can check us out there. We have we have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. We have all the social medias. I'm down at RV58 at the moment. If anybody wants to come by and talk to me, I'm more than chatty about what we're trying to do here. So
regrettably, this episode will air tomorrow night, I think. No, it will air tonight. So the only people who will hear this are not going to be here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I mean, it technically ends tomorrow, and I suspect most people will be pulling their stuff down if they haven't already started today. Like, my plan today is to tear a lot of this down at some point this evening.
Right. Same here. But if people want to go learn more about us, go to libertypolicyalliance.org.
Do you have any shortened version of that, like a lpalliance.org? No, that would be too confusing, wouldn't it? Yeah.
And too much. And for every domain I buy costs me like $50. So
I find them useful, though. And I mean, in the grand scheme of things, buying additional domains is good. I recently bought freetalklivesucks.com, and I directed it to freetalklive.com. Obviously, I got the idea from Primus, and then I discovered that freetalklivesucks.com was available, and it was like $20 for 2 years or something. So I'm like, yeah, I'll grab it.
Right.
But it does depend on the actual domain you're buying, and you know, there's a lot of factors going into it.
But so, like I said, we have all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm on all of those as well. I've been deplatformed, so you have to look for Sean with an H between the S and the E. And then on Twitter, it's Sean for Liberty if you want to follow me there. It's Liberty Policy Ally if you want to follow us on Twitter. But again, we're on all the social medias. It would really be helpful if we could get people to donate. If you want to come talk to me directly again, you can always message me there. We'll take fiat, we'll take Bitcoin. As far as donations go, whatever anybody can contribute, I'm the type to never look a gift horse in the mouth.
Sure. Well, there's candidates in Texas that actually accept deer semen as donations, right? Because it's the sticks that contain this stuff are valued at $25,000 per. So it's essentially a $25,000 donation. It's very peculiar. I didn't even know such a thing existed. So that's commendable to be willing to accept it, you know, essentially any form of donation. Like you said, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say.
Right.
So I'm glad to hear you're accepting gold, cryptocurrency, because these are important things. These are important tools that we can use to acquire freedom and to secure our freedom, especially financial privacy going forward into the future. And that's libertypolicyalliance.org if people want to learn more. Are there links to your socials on your website? Like links?
Yeah,
to your
as soon as the top right of the page, as soon as you hit our website, you can click on it and all of our socials will pull up.
Fantastic. That's libertypolicyalliance.com, right?
.org.
.org. See, I'm already screwing up. libertypolicyalliance.org. Well, thank you so much for joining us here, Sean. I look forward to seeing you around the festival and look forward to seeing you. Hopefully, I'm here next year. In that event, I look forward to seeing you next year.
Thank you so much
for joining us today.
Thank you.
So sad news here from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Apparently, there was additional vandalism and destruction last night at the Liberty spot up here at the top of the hill.
One of my favorite vendors.
Yeah, indeed. And really, really nice people, really friendly people. It's tragic to think that this happened. Someone apparently went through and emptied out their coffee pots because they have self-serve stations.
Yep.
That they leave out for late night people. And apparently someone dumped all that stuff everywhere. It's very tragic, very, very sad to have seen this happen. And it's not the first time this year that something like this has happened.
Yeah, there was a guy who no one really from the community recognized who, I mean, he came over here, he sat down at your computer.
He did, you know, it was super weird.
We sort of shooed him away. He showed up a little bit later at one of the tents where people were having good times, and, you know, sort of everybody sort of had to ignore him out of there. And then I was told that that same dude is the one who assaulted a person.
Yeah, right up here, just at the top of the hill.
He had to be physically removed.
He took a quartz crystal and he attacked someone. Yeah. And the park rangers did bind him. They have apparently zip tie handcuffs, and I still,
which is weird.
Yeah, I still have to ask questions about why the park rangers have any form of handcuffs. I mean, except for the fuzzy kind, perhaps. But they did, and yeah, you know, they handled the situation as well as they could have, and the guy was arrested, I believe. But of course, this all harkens back to last year, and mm-hmm. Mikey the Snack Jew, and the $300 or so in losses that he's been talking about, I mean, for like a year now. I mean, and I understand entirely Dennis Pratt and the Porcupine Freedom Festival's position on this. Like, Mikey, what the hell do you want them to do?
Right.
Do you want them to offer an apology? They didn't do it, and they're not responsible for it. You have the self-serve station. You know the risk that is involved with leaving your stuff out.
Well, and, you know, provide your own security, right? That's kind of
also
what this event is all about. You're supposed to be able to put up your own thing, do your own thing, but that means you also must be responsible for your own thing.
To my vast surprise, the LGBTQ flag still has not been vandalized. It's still flying right there, doing just
there
fine.
Is.
Thankfully, nothing at our site has been vandalized. I didn't even consider that about a possibility, because I've been coming here for 7 years in a row, and my first year was during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Ramadan changes its location on the calendar each year. It's like an 11-month cycle, more or less. And okay, I was here with Will Coley, and during Ramadan, the Muslims give away a lot of food after dusk. They fast during the day, and then they eat at night. And he did have a donation jar out there, and it was totally fine. We just left the donation jar sitting out there mm-hmm. all day and night, and just never touched it until the end of the week, at which point he collected it and mm-hmm. you know, counted it out. And there was no theft, and it never even occurred to us that something could happen to it, because we were surrounded by libertarians.
Yeah.
And presumably this was the thinking and the reasoning that Mikey had with his self-serve stations, and that Liberty had with their self-serve stations, and that, you know, we had here with leaving our equipment out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the Porcupine Freedom Festival it used to be. And I don't want to point any fingers here, but when you have someone on Twitter opening, threatening violence at your event, and you don't take a firm stand against that, I can't even pretend to be surprised that that violence then goes on at yeah. said event.
Well, and the numbers sort of tell us that the more people that begin to attend Porkfest, and I think we've pretty much gotten to capacity the last 2 years here.
Dude, they turned off the water Thursday.
Yeah.
Are you free? And most of the bathrooms are still closed. It's unsustainable.
And so as that number sort of continues to increase, we're going to see more incidents like that. You just can't put this many people together in, you know, this closed of a location and expect there to be nothing.
But you should be able to, right? You should be able to do that with a festival full of 3,000 libertarians, 5,000, 10,000 libertarians should be able to hang out together at a festival with no violence, no theft, and no vandalism.
Well, you're assuming the people doing the violence and the theft are libertarians.
Well, I'm assuming that they're very clearly not.
Yeah.
Libertarians don't vandalize. And that's not a no true Scotsman argument, by the way. Libertarianism is defined as adherence to the non-aggression principle.
Right.
If you're vandalizing someone's stuff, if you're attacking people, then you are not adhering to the non-aggression principle, and you are therefore not a libertarian.
Correct.
I think we can definitively lay the vandalism and the assault and the other miscellaneous events squarely at the feet of those who do not adhere to the non-aggression principle, to making the event, the Libertarian Festival, the premier Libertarian Festival in the world, making it welcome to non-libertarians.
Mm-hmm.
We got non-libertarians here, and look at the results. They've not been good.
Yeah, I do want to commend the freedom community, though, for their ability to come together and provide assistance when these things happen.
Yeah, bugs are really out today. Yeah, I'm assuming the rain has sort of knocked them out of the trees, and now they're
crawling all over the place.
Yeah.
So the community here, for all of these incidents, have reached out to the people who are affected. Hey, how can we help? What can we do? Can we, you know, start a fund for you? Can we come and help you clean up? All that kind of stuff. So I've seen people going out of their way to offer to help. So that is the most impressive part to me. Yeah, we had some incidents, you know, of vandalism and violence and that kind of a thing, but the response to it, I think, is how you measure the quality of the people who are here. And the fact that so many people have reached out for all these incidents to provide assistance or offer anything up to the people who are affected, to me, is the most impressive.
Indeed. I offered a donation to the Fire Steel campsite. I don't even know exactly what it is they do there, but they've been there for years, and they host speeches and conventions, and they do their own thing. I think last night they had a rave there as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I support what everyone is doing here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, honestly, just about, except for the vandalism.
Yeah.
And they had their money jar stolen. I don't think we even really got into that. It was stolen a day or two ago, and libertarians are so honest and have such integrity that if I recall what they said correctly, they honestly checked with the park rangers to see if someone had turned in a giant jar of cash.
Right.
Because, yeah, if I was a libertarian here and I found a giant jar of cash, I would take it to the park rangers.
Yep.
And most people here would, because it's not theirs. And that's the sort of thing you get at a libertarian festival. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, but when you get non-libertarians here, you do, I worded things badly a moment ago, and I was aware of that right after I did it. I'm not laying any of this at the feet of Dennis Pratt or Constance or any of the organizers or the Free State Project. It's a cultural issue. It brings to a head the question of whether or not Porkfest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, is for libertarians or if it's for libertarians plus others. And I think this makes it inexplicably clear that it must be considered for libertarians only. We have to stop courting non-libertarians and make it clear to them that they're just not welcome here.
Yeah, my understanding, or at least my feeling of what the Porcupine Freedom Festival is the experiment, you know, proving that it can be done, proving that a bunch of people can come together, associate, party, learn, grow, all together under, the non-aggression principle. And, I mean, 20 years going, I think we've proven it.
Sort of, but you mentioned that, and I'm starting to think the opposite has been proven here. It's sort of, what's happening this year and last year with the vandalism, the attacks, the theft, sort of suggests, it gives credibility to this argument people have that in order for a libertarian society to work, everyone has to be a libertarian. If you have one person who's willing to come in there and use violence against others and take control, then that's going to snowball and escalate. It comes back to the tolerance paradox, that you have to be actively intolerant of those who are intolerant. Mm. And what we're seeing, like these people now coming in, attacking people, committing vandalism, stealing, now we have to lock down our stuff at night. Everyone has to lock down their stuff at night. And in a libertarian society, what the past 2 years, what the Porcupine Freedom Festival over the last 20 years has shown is that with a small enough crowd, yes, you can operate on these honor systems and everything would go just fine. But at a certain point, you will be infiltrated by non-purists, by people who don't share your beliefs, and they will come in and cause problems, and you have to have a way
of
preventing that.
Libertarianism doesn't solve human nature.
Right.
And so humans are going to be a-holes regardless of what they claim to believe or subscribe to and that kind of a thing.
Sort of the problem with libertarianism is that it runs counter to human nature. It runs, when I see a jar of cash, my human nature says, grab it and run. But libertarianism doesn't allow for that sort of thing to happen.
I mean, there's a line, too, because, like, some people would be like, well, that's just being honest. If you find a jar of cash and, you know, if it was your cash, what would you want? You'd want somebody to try and find you and turn it in and give it back to you. That's what I would want.
Well, if you don't do that, then it's dishonest, and that's a form of fraud.
Right.
And that would be a violation of the non-aggression principle.
Right. And so while your points are very valid, I don't want our listeners to sort of get the idea that libertarianism solves all of humanity's ills.
Sure, yeah.
And sometimes when people hear the libertarian arguments, they get that impression. They're like, oh, well, your society sounds so perfect, and how do you handle this thing? It's like, well, okay, look. Human beings haven't solved petty theft,
right?
And nor has the state, by the way. And so people will take a look at something like, you know, some vandalism occurring or an assault occurring here on site and go, see, it just means the state is necessary. No, no, it's not. It just means that not only does the state not solve that problem, humanity as a whole hasn't solved that problem.
That is always one of the unfair tactics that statists use, is they hold us to a higher standard than they do themselves. As you mentioned, they will use the vandalism here as proof that libertarian societies don't work. But as you rightly point out, there's thefts all throughout normal society as well, and statism hasn't solved that problem either. It is disheartening, though, to hear about what's going on here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
It's and disappointing for sure, yeah.
And I don't have a solution here. Obviously, libertarianism doesn't have all the answers. The only... I don't even know if you can... I'm not saying there should be some sort of purity test to make sure only libertarians get in, but, like, what could be done about
this? I don't think anything really, you know, outside of, like, somebody offering security services to those who want it, you know, some sort of patrol or cameras, you know, that kind of thing. There are things out there that people can do, but I think context is important, too. I think if you put... I'm going to use the word or the number 3,000 just for easy math. If you put 3,000 people on, you know, any sort of a gathering, any kind of a festival, a carnival, something like that, or a campground, you're going to have these human problems. Now, what would be interesting is to see, okay, so we've had one vandalism and one assault here.
And miscellaneous theft.
And I would be curious to see, like, what those numbers are for any other festival of this size.
Right, but we're not
and
just...
And compare one to the other, because I'm guessing that our stats are far lower than any other gathering of this many people.
But it shouldn't be happening at all, I think. And that's sort of, like 2 years ago, there was no theft here. There was no vandalism. There were no assaults.
Three years ago?
No, there's simply no one reported anywhere on the Telegram chats or on the
Facebook groups. Something wasn't reported doesn't mean something didn't happen and otherwise get resolved.
Well, I suspect why wouldn't they have reported it 3 years ago like they report it now when it happens, right?
I mean,
if someone had been assaulted 3 years ago, we would have heard about it just like we heard about the guy getting attacked with a crystal.
Sometimes people get into a fist fight and they work it out.
Sure, but people getting into a fist fight isn't necessarily assaults, right? Like, this guy was blindsided and attacked, but there is more coming up, right? I don't want to knock the festival. It's a great time, so coming out with us next year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. There is more coming up here, though. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.